Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Attract and Stand Out podcast. I'm your host, Darlene Holly, and I am so excited for my amazing friend, Colleen Biggs, is here with me today. Colleen, thank you for joining me on the podcast. How are you?
I am so great, Darlene. I am so great. 2024 is going to be an amazing year.
Yes, it is. It's already like we're recording this right at the end of 2023. We're creeping into 2024, and I can feel the buzz and the excitement, as I know for myself and as I'm working with my clients, like getting ready for the new year. Like, there's just such great energy that comes when we're in this space of we get to reflect and recharge and rest and like get ourselves ready for what's coming. So Colleen, tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and all that fun stuff. Give us the lowdown.
Well, thanks. And I love this time of year because I get to plug into my family more, plug into my grandkids more. It does feel a little bit more relaxed because we create it that way. So I love my friends. I love my family. I love to be fueled and plugged in to them because it's a recharge for me, even socially, you know? And I think that's really why, Darlene, I created the Leap community. It's a community for female entrepreneurs. And in this community, because for 22 years, I've been building businesses and launching new businesses, probably about 300 and some now, why I love it has to do with the kind of the curating of the community that happens through that. So many of the companies that I worked with curated community, and in that community that they curated, they would share best practices. They did what we would do, masterminding. That's what they did together, right? I loved it because they helped fuel and support each other, right? Build that social capital of opportunities for them, of things that they never thought about. And so when I left corporate America, I curated a community for female entrepreneurs, because I know that starting a business is not easy. You know, I've guided a lot of entrepreneurs on that journey. And here I was, an entrepreneur on that journey, and selfishly wanted to be surrounded by a bunch of women that could support me, and I was there to support them. So, you know, in that community, we offer solutions for visibility. Being seen, being heard, and being visible is more than just, you know, going to a networking event. It really is about building your digital footprint online, because if someone hears your name and goes to Google it, which everybody does, they need to be able to see your credibility, like your resume, your business card online, you know, and that's how you can allow SEO work for you. So we do a lot of that in our community with interviews and podcasts and masterclasses and promoting through newsletters and social media. So we do a lot of promotion of our members, but the other half of that really then becomes the support that we offer them in building businesses. My husband and I also own a couple businesses here, three of them in Arizona. We're looking to keep expanding. We're franchising one of my husband's businesses right now. And I love producing events. I love producing events and getting women together. I just feel like the strength of a woman in a room with 100 or 200 other women and what we're able to accomplish and the services and support and empowerment we can offer each other elevates all of us to a new level in business. So I love doing that. That's one of my favorite things.
Yeah. I love that you have so many businesses and so many kind of hands in different pots, so to speak, when it comes to running the businesses. What have you found as, like, you have an entrepreneurial spirit, I'm seeing it.
Yeah.
Tell me, like, how did you come to this place where you wanted to start these businesses, and really, like, what was the passion and the driving force behind it for you?
You know, I don't think there was I don't remember like a trigger that went off. I do remember before I left corporate America, 5 years before that, if someone would have asked me, and many of the business owners I worked with asked me, like, hey, why don't you go start your own business? I'm like, no, I'd rather, you know, support you and impact millions through, you know, supporting all of you. Yeah. And then when I figured out that I just felt like, again, I was suppressed and being seen, being heard, being visible, it really got to a point where I was like, I can't be in this box anymore. There's something about me that wants to get out of here. And that was my drive to become an entrepreneur, was the freedom of choice. Now, with that comes a lot of hardship. So, you know, building a business is not easy. And being a solopreneur, entrepreneur is really, really tough. You know, the next step up from that would be a small business owner where you have employees. And so, you know, our businesses that my husband and I run, they take a lot of work and time, and it's a lot of exchanging time for money. And we know that's not going to last forever. So the businesses we've been buying and building now, we have employees running on purpose and us not needing to be in them day to day because of that. Because I do believe it's important that that you create that model so that you have a little bit more passive income and not having to be in a day-to-day. And so you're not exchanging that time for money. I see so many women exchange time for money, and that is, that's tough. So I love building businesses. We do have our hands in a lot. It can be a lot. But I think you just need to know what you can handle and know who can help you in your business versus you having to do all the hows, right? So that's a book. It's a great book if someone wants to read it, Who Not How. And so I've been reading that book a lot and going back and kind of keep forcing myself, like, stop figuring out how to do it and get someone to do it for you. And that's a huge shift in mindset. For a lot of entrepreneurs.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned that, because it's, as we grow our businesses and we like, it's all, it's the ripple effect that goes out. Like when we are able to give somebody else a position to support their family, and we might not be in the day-to-day of it, but like you're creating a legacy, you're creating an impact in the community. And that ripple effect just kind of like trickles out there.
Yeah.
Which is such a beautiful thing. One of the things that you said was like, when you were in corporate America, you felt like your voice was suppressed. I love to talk about like what the work that I do with my organizational leaders and my entrepreneur clients is really helping them speak up, stand out, and make an impact using their voice. Like we have, you know, the internal critic that's going on telling us, who am I worthy enough? Am I good enough to do this? And then we have the external communication. Like when we do go to speak up, what is it we're saying? Are we saying it in a way that's really creating the impact we want it to in that moment? What do you think is one of like the biggest lessons you learned either from corporate America or even as you stepped into entrepreneurship? Like how have you used your voice to create that change?
You know, back in corporate America, there were a lot of times, I remember when I first became a director and was able to walk into a room where I was going to be able to make changes on, you know, the path of the company, right? I would have a say. Yeah. And the CEO met me at the door and said, congratulations. I was like, thank you. And I was so excited. And he was like, so you're to be seen but not heard in this meeting. Got it? And can you imagine in that one moment how deflated I felt? Like I had worked, I felt like my whole life to get there.
Yeah.
You know, since I was 17 and was on my own, I worked my whole life to be able to have a say in the shaping of a company. That was what I wanted. And I was so deflated. And then I thought to myself, why does it feel like this person has power over me? And that's what I asked myself, because I didn't differentiate or really understand it much at that time, because this was a long time ago. And I was like, why does this person have power over me? I didn't realize I had allowed him to have power over me. I felt like because it was my job and he was the CEO, that he had power over me. There's a big difference there. It wasn't until I was an entrepreneur that I realized I gave him permission to have power over me. There's the big mistake. We allow people to have power over us and we give our power away versus us keeping our power. And in that moment, if I could go back, I would have asked the question, why? Instead of just cowering into the meeting, just happy I was there, but feeling deflated and wanting to cry, I should have looked at him and said, why is that?
Yeah.
At some point, do you feel that I haven't deserved or earned my place here, that I've worked so hard since I was a teenager to get here? Are you afraid I might say something that you don't like? Like, what is it that you don't want me to speak up? If you're saying you would like me to be observant, I plan on doing that. Yes. But to tell me that I'm not allowed to speak up in a meeting, I don't think that that's very respectful to someone that's been invited to a meeting.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would have asked, why was I invited then? If I'm not to share my opinion, are you saying that my opinion is less valuable than other people's opinions in the room? So now my brain looks at this way different because I hold and harness my own power now. I don't allow other people to have that power over me. And that was all worthiness. That was all not really feeling like I was worth it. That's where I just stayed quiet and didn't speak my mind. And then I went into a period of time where maybe some of the clients that you work with, where they get angry. So they start getting angry and they cry a lot. Maybe their frustration comes out at night and they're finding themselves coming home and pouring glasses of wine and being angry or crying or feeling frustrated because no one's listening to them, or they're being dismissed, or they're like, yeah, yeah, whatever. I remember this one time, Darlene, I'll share with you. I'm a numbers person, and I never really realized I was a numbers person, but I would always just go to the numbers because the numbers made sense to me. So when we were doing budgets and when we were putting together things, I would sit other people down that were, you know, managers and directors, and I would say, does this make sense to you? They're saying they want us to do more, but the budget isn't allowing it, and they're not changing anything we did last year. So in other words, it's insanity because you want me to do the exact same thing, but you want a different result, but you're not giving me any leeway or budget to have a different result. So how is that fair to us to be able to deliver that, right? So I went on a research and I did all the numbers and we presented it back to the board. And I got three other people from other departments and we all presented it back to the board and they pretty much laughed us out of the room and said, the budget's not changing. So then I went and found a company that could help us sell more that was within budget and do something different than we were doing. I'm like, okay, if they won't increase it, maybe we can just do something different. They turned it down. So I just remember telling myself in that moment, it's like an alcoholic that you want to stop drinking, won't, because they have to want to stop drinking. I wanted this company to grow. And I think that they thought they wanted the company to grow, but they weren't, their actions showed that they weren't doing anything. It was just more pressure on us year after year after year without the support or the budget. And I was like, this is insane. I do not want to keep fighting up against a wall. Like, you can't even break through the wall, Darlene. And I'm sure you have clients. And in that case, I would say you need to figure out if you're in the right job and if you're in the right company. If you keep fighting up against walls that will never break, sometimes you have to realize that you need to leave and you need to go to a different company and you need to be in a different position because they're never changing.
Yeah, it's that point of realizing, like, I've grown as much as I can in this specific role that I'm in right now.
Yeah.
Like, you've hit that. And, you know, we always talk about like the glass ceilings. Like, sometimes it's just a concrete building ceiling and there's nowhere else to go internally inside that organization. And how do you bring your gifts and your voice and your message and your work ethic to another company that's going to really support you and help you grow and shine in those places?
Yeah.
One of the things I wrote down that you said was like, you were told to be seen and not heard. And such a, like, I just want to point that message back out because this is something that I see show up with my women clients so often, as they've been told, as whether from when they were little girls or in leadership roles or any place that they felt like they had a voice, like, how do we break that model? And I love, like, you shared a lot of like deep things on like how you kind of wish you would have, like, the things that you wish you could have said in those moments. And I think it's a great place to think too, like, how do we practice saying those things? Like, in hindsight, sometimes we have, I know for myself, I have a lot of hindsight, like, oh, I wish I would have said this at 2 o'clock, like, you know how it is, Colleen, you wake up at 2 a.m. and you're like, oh, that conversation day, I should have said this. This would have like made a huge impact in the conversation, the direction of what we were doing. Mm-hmm. And I think as women, it's like, if we role play, we practice using our voice, we say those things out loud, even if it's after the fact, even if it's, you know, the day after or 10, 20 years later, when we practice using our voice and, you know, finding the words that we wish we could have used then, it helps us in the future. It helps us in that next conversation. So I think it's important that we remember that. Like, even if you don't get it right and you don't do it the way that you wish you had every single time, if you just practice use saying it out loud, practice saying what you would have said in that moment, that role play, that ability to just hear yourself say it out loud gives you that confidence boost so that the next time somebody says, "Colleen, we just want you to sit here and be seen and not heard," like, you have the words in that moment
Yeah.
of how to respond and stand up for ourselves and let our voice be heard, because there's been too many times where we've been put into a box or asked to sit pretty in a corner and, take notes or whatever it is and not have our voices heard. But when we can start to find our voice again and start to find the things that we do want to say, like, that impact hits at such a bigger level.
Yeah, it's going to happen everywhere you go, kind of everything that you do. And one of the ways that I work with my clients when they are saying they get burnt out, I'll say, are you asking yourself when you go to do something, is this hard or is this smart? Right? Just something simple we can ask ourselves. Is this hard or is this smart? One of the things I would challenge you and all the women out there that feel like they are being suppressed or allowing their energy and power to be taken from them would be if something happens to ask yourself, does this feel like my power is being deflated? Like I'm having it taken away from me? Or is this depositing more fuel and power for me? Right. So is this person for me or are they deflating me? And if that person is deflating you, that means you need to speak up. And so many women are afraid to speak up. And I will say, what is the worst thing that could happen? What is the worst thing that could happen? So you get fired. I'm assuming that's the worst thing that could happen to these women. You get fired. Great. You got fired from a company that didn't even respect you at all, your opinion or anything, and you just brought home a paycheck. So that should be a celebration because now you get to go find a company that will respect you. And I guarantee it will be a better work environment for you. You will feel more powerful, you'll be more confident, and your life will be better. So I think when we look at pros and cons of things, we get so scared. And I remember thinking, like, oh my gosh, if I lost my job, it's like back then, why did I think that? Like, just go get another one. What's the big deal? And it's the same way today. I mean, jobs are plentiful out there
Yeah.
for you to be able to get a job. They can't even get employees because nobody wants to work anymore. So they're paying better and they have better benefits than they ever did. You
Yeah.
know, I remember, I, oh gosh.
I think that stems a lot from like the generational changes, because I know when I in my early mid 20s, when I left retail management and started my own business, my grandparents and my family thought I was, a lunatic for leaving my cushy 401k package and my vacation package and all those different pieces that came with working inside, of that organization. And I remember thinking, like, there's got to be more, there's something bigger, I can just feel it. But there's that piece of there's security with this company, and people used to stay with an organization for 30, 40 years and they would retire from it. And now if you look at most, like, if, especially if we look at today's job market, like, people are they're hopping from one job to another. They can find advancements quicker. They can find a company that's more of a culture fit, that fits their values, fits their lifestyle, especially, a few years outside of a pandemic. A lot of us learned we don't love, commuting 2 hours a day each way and working for a company that doesn't actually respect us or, treat us that well. And now we can do it. We can find jobs where we can work from home and not have to have the commute. There's those different pieces that are involved in it. And so I think it's just like how times have changed too.
I think it's no matter what generation it is, because I'm in my 50s, no matter what generation it is, we have to remember that if we want to be respected, we first have to have respect for ourselves. If you want respect, you have to respect yourself first. So are you respecting yourself by allowing people to walk all over you? And the answer to that is no, you're really not. And Darlene and I had a conversation about some things with my event that I'm putting on, before we went live. And I will tell you that you've got to set boundaries. If you don't, people will walk all over them. They will just step right over them like it's no big deal and they don't care. And if you don't set those boundaries and hold them, then you're the one running around doing all the work, not them. They don't even care. They don't lose a wink of sleep. It doesn't stop them in their tracks one bit. And you're the one that suffers. And when we suffer and we constantly swallow over and over again, the resent and the anger, it causes health issues in your body, not their body. I hope everyone's listening to me. It is so 100% true. You cause the health problems, the stress in your body. They are unaffected, but they caused it. They're the ones that said it. And then all of a sudden you allowed it. So ask yourself, am I respecting myself in this situation? And if your answer to that is no, then do something about it. And if you don't do something about it, there's nobody to blame but yourself.
Yep, absolutely. You made me think of my clients know I say this all the time, but like 5-6 years ago, I read a book and I forget the name of it. And it said that no was a complete sentence. And that was like mind blowing for me. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can just say no, because I'm a people pleaser. I will do everything for everyone else and sometimes put myself last. I've worked on that. It's not.
You're a recovering people pleaser like me.
Yes. Yeah. And then there was another sentence that really stood out to me. And it was like, if I'm saying yes to this, what am I saying no to for myself? And I think when we talk about like setting boundaries and setting, you know, parameters for ourselves, for how we're showing up and what we're giving and what we're wanting to, like, if I'm happy to do a lot of things for a lot of people pretty often, like I don't mind doing those things. I actually enjoy supporting and helping other people, but what am I sacrificing for myself? Is it impacting my business? Is it impacting my family quality time? Is it impacting how I'm showing up because I'm just plain exhausted because I'm doing too many different things? And as women, especially, we have to look at all those pieces, because we will give and give and give and give and give until there's nothing left. And then that doesn't serve our businesses. It doesn't serve our family. And it sure as heck isn't serving ourselves.
No. And if we're talking about being leaders that we should be, you're showing as an example to your daughters, to your granddaughters, to the other people around you, that you should be abused and used.
Yeah.
You should allow yourself to be abused and used and have nothing left and just kind of just lie there limp, because everybody else is more important than you.
Absolutely.
And sometimes that will get a mom pissed off. I'm like, what is it going to take for me to piss you off enough? You know, and if I mention their daughter's name, I'm like, oh, do you want, what if she was the one at work and someone spoke to her that way, would you want to defend her? Well, of course I would. Then why don't you want to defend yourself? Because she's watching you not defend herself, and she's going to be you in 10 years at that same job, because that's what you're teaching her. And then they just bust out, you know, crying. And then they're like, oh, I didn't realize. I'm like, she's watching you. She wants to be you.
Yeah. That next generation is all eyes on you.
Yeah.
Whether we want them to be watching some of the things we do or not, right?
Yeah. That is what my wake up call was. It really was. Like, I was raising these strong, independent girls, and I was just feeling, I felt weak. At corporate America, I felt weak. And it was like, I'm done. Even if I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it, even though if I don't know, I believe in myself and I'm going to do whatever it takes, because this, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
I'm done with being treated this way. So I now choose who I play with, you know, who I run in circles with, who's part of my life, who I do business dealings with, who I bring into certain circles. I pick and choose that. And not everyone feels like that's what should be done. But I will tell you, when you do that, you are so much happier, because you're fueled by the people around you. And I keep the people at arm's length that suck everything from me. They're just like, you know, I just can't stand it. I have to have like a metal umbrella against all of that negativity and, you know, the woe is me, I'm a victim. I don't play there.
Yeah. And I love that you said, like, you have that, like, you built that fortress around yourself so that you can recognize it, first of all, and you can also start to repel it and not accept it into our world. There's something powerful when we, you know, have that awareness that this is not serving us any longer, and we can't keep living the way that we're living with the way that this is coming at us. And then we take that ownership, we take the power in that situation. And I just had like a visual of almost like the Care Bear stare, like the Care Bear cartoon, but like where we're reflecting the stuff that's not for us, it's not for us, but other people are trying to put all their things, they're piling all the things, their expectations, their needs, their shoulds, their wants. But it's not who we are, and it's not what we're how we're wanting to show up. And so when we can repel those things and really stand powerfully and like say what it is that we want and speak up in those moments and let our voices be heard, let other people see us for who we truly are, the true, authentic, vulnerable, real us, that's when shifts happen. And that's when we can make that bigger impact.
That's right. 100%.
As we start to kind of wind things down, I'd love to just ask one more question before we go to rapid fire questions. We're in 2024. It's a new year. It's a clean slate. What's like one or two things that you kind of see as maybe a trend or an insight that you know that you want to help support yourself as we go through this year, or maybe you're going to use it to help your clients?
Well, AI, number one, right? Because if you're not on the AI bandwagon, every other business is going to pass you by. So good luck if you haven't embraced it yet. So take classes, get familiar with it, get rub elbows with people that are really good at using AI, that understand AI. We've already started using AI on my podcast, Take the Leap. And it has just really helped my team move things faster through, you know, in doing the podcast. So that's number one. The second thing I would say, and it should be a trend every year, and I don't know if it is, would be growth. I've seen too many people get stagnant and say they're too busy. I've got too much going on, and you're never too busy to learn. So if you really, truly want to be a leader, you've got to work on your growth. So I would challenge every single person that's listening to this, like I challenge my clients. Every year we put together their goals and visions in October. And I always ask, what one of these things challenges you the most that you're going to have to research, do some additional work on? And if there's nothing on that list, then they've got to add something for growth, whatever it is. Even if you've never crossed a physical finish line, you know, like a run, go sign up for a 1 mile run or a turkey trot or, you know, something like that and go walk it. I've had people say, oh, I'm not a runner. Well, if you've never felt the emotional release of crossing a finish line and what that will do for you, for your success in the future, go do it. Because when you physically complete something across the finish line, it feels so good that you want that more and more. It's like an addiction, and that dopamine, you want it more and more. So I guarantee your success in your business will elevate because you're chasing that. Yeah. And that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. It's like the endorphins that are released when you're working out and you chase that, right? That's a good thing. So those would be the two things I would leave with you and your listeners.
Awesome. So we're going to go to rapid fire questions. And I just would love to know from you, Colleen, if I could buy you a plane ticket and you could go anywhere in the world right this minute, where would you go and why?
I would go to Switzerland because I've always dreamed of going to Switzerland. And I want to like go up on the mountains and just smell the air. I hear it's so clean. I would just go to Switzerland. I don't know why exactly. I just think it's beautiful.
Yeah, I will pack my bag and join you. Sounds great. When you need to relax and reset and recharge, what is something you like to do or somewhere you like to go to help you like reconnect with yourself?
My husband. So when I need a recharge, I get that recharge from my husband. There's just a connection that we have. And I haven't had that my entire life. We've only been married for 16 years, but I can just kind of melt into it. And it allows me just to feel completely safe. And I can think, if that makes sense. Everything kind of goes away and I can just think. So that's my safe space.
I love that. As a leader and an entrepreneur, what would you say is part of like the impact and legacy you want to leave? What would you like to like leave for the next generation to come?
I think the biggest thing for me is realizing that life isn't really revolving around things and content, and there's just so much out there. Human babies, if left alone and not held, die. That should tell anyone listening that we need to be held. We need to love each other more. We need to get together more, not for a purpose of an ROI of I need to make business on this deal. But like you and I were talking about, just get girlfriends together or friends together or have dinner parties. You remember way back in the day when our parents used to do dinner parties all the time, all the time. There were always couples together all the time in each other's houses. In fact, on the 10 o'clock news, it would say, do you know where your kids are? Because they totally forgot they even had kids because their lives were so important with entertaining with their couple friends. Why don't we do that more? Why don't we get together with people more? COVID isolated us big time. And if I could leave one legacy, would be that as a true leader and as a female, we are nurturers. So how do we change the next generation and you know, thousands of generations to come by building connections with people? Because they love it when they know you care.
Absolutely.
That's it.
I love that. And I totally giggled when you brought back that, like, do you know where your children are? Because that's come up in like three or four conversations in the past couple of months. And I just used it recently when I was leading a training and it came out of my mouth and I was laughing at myself. I'm like, I can't believe you just like said that. Like I haven't said it or thought about it for so long, but then it just keeps coming up. So it's one of those things that you're like, yeah, do you know where your kids are? And I'm like, this generation, we don't let our kids walk down the street across the street without us like knowing exactly where they are and what they're doing. So it's funny how like the generational patterns change.
It's so true.
One last question for you. What is your top value or one of your top values?
Oh, my faith in God is probably it. I would have to say for sure. I drop to my knees on a regular basis. God helps me drive my business. So that's a huge thing. And I will not and can spot anyone who is not honest. I will run the other way. Integrity is so important to me.
I love that.
For sure.
Well, Colleen, thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast. It was such an honor to interview you and get some of your insights. I know people are going to want to connect with you. Where is the best place for them to connect with you at?
It's super easy. Go to ColleenBiggs.net. You can click on the button right at the top that says, you know, to book a call with Colleen if you want to get to know me and have a conversation. If you're like, nah, I don't really want to book a call with you, then I say one of the best things to do is just follow me on social media and get to know me a little bit, right? You can see all my grandkids and my life and kind of how I live and what I do. So Instagram's awesome at Colleen Biggs. You can follow me at Colleen Biggs on Facebook. So LinkedIn is the same. And if you can't remember any of that, just Google Colleen Biggs. I'm everywhere. So I built a good digital footprint. It's what I help people do. And I would love for someone to connect with me in some way or another, even if it's just a follow and a soft stalking on social media, I'll take it.
Soft stalking is a great thing. I had a client last year who had been following me for 6 years. And I was like, where did you come from? And he's like, I've been following you forever. It's the best thing. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for joining us for another episode of the Attract and Stand Out podcast. It would mean the absolute world to me if you would subscribe to the podcast as well as leave a review. Send me a screenshot that you leave a review. And I will send you a gift card for your next coffee. I would love to support your caffeine addiction because you supported this amazing podcast and interviewing people like Colleen. All right, everybody, that's a wrap. As always, remember, I believe in you. You're allowed to stand out. You're allowed to shine. You're allowed to be you. We'll see you next time.